The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
On Monday evening, an under-15 championship hurling game at Waterford was apparently abandoned because of a mass brawl involving players and spectators. Footage of this has been widely shared on social media. Unfortunately, it's far from the first time that we've had a game like this having to be abandoned because of bad behaviour by players and spectators. It happens underage, it happens at junior level, it happens at senior level. Well, no, it doesn't happen in every game, but it happens often enough that it becomes a subject of controversy. We'll, in a moment, talk to the former GAA president, Liam O'Neill, but Sinead O'Carroll, editor of thejournal.ie, is it a regular occurrence, or is it just in the social media era, with pictures from freely available, these incidents are made to look perhaps worse than they actually are?
I think that's one of the key pieces of information we're missing when we have these conversations. Like, there's always a spectrum of aggression at sporting events, and you can argue the rights and wrongs of that, but there is, and the spectrum on the line, you would hope, say, is very low, and it just amounts to, you know, good cheering for the team or a little bit of friendly booing for the opposition. But when it's actual violence that spills onto the pitch, that's the stuff that we end up seeing on social media. Do people remember it happening in the 90s? I'm sure if you asked your listeners who played GAA in the 90s, they would remember it.
I'm old enough, the 80s, and the 80s, I've been involved in one game where it happened like
that.
So
what we don't know is how much of it is happening more, or how much more we're seeing. Either way, there's still too much of it happening. So once it happens in an under 15 game, it's too much. There needs to be, you know, solutions put in place.
Now, I'm going to incur the wrath of many listeners by asking you this question, but does it only happen in Gaelic football and in hurling rather than in camogie and women's Gaelic football?
I think it depends on, if you look at that spectrum of aggression, like, I would say that's from everything from, you know, people on the sideline who are watching matches encouraging on the pitch and you know, encroaching on the pitch and taking up space. That's bad behaviour from people on the line. That 100% happens in ladies and ladies football and camogie. On the actual brawls, like, have I ever seen a brawl break out in a camogie match? No, but am I a sample size of one? Yes. Like, if we talk to other people around the country, they might have loads of examples. They might have loads of examples of very dangerous play, which led to red cards, which led to argy-bargy on the sideline. Amateur organisation, it's hard to get that research.
But if, say, for example, at the start of a camogie game or a women's football game, is there the same jostling which turns into sort of full shoulder charges against the players starting? When a sub comes on in camogie or women's football, do they immediately run to the player they're going to mark and decide to shoulder charge them?
You probably don't see it as often, but it's not something that's coached in the men's game either. It's just learned behaviour. So it's like, you know, oh, we saw the lads do that in the 70s, it goes into the 80s, we want to make sure that we're the same kind of, you know, I have moulded myself in the guise of a John Power, and therefore I'm going to play like a John Power, you know. So it's probably just less learned behaviour in the women's game. So I wouldn't necessarily think it's less aggression on the women's game, but maybe it's more controlled, or there's less learned behaviour out there. But I think what happens on the sideline, usually it will be men involved in that kind of aggro. But there have been occasions where we've seen women on social media involved in these videos.
So I'm not egging sure others on, yeah, so not throwing the digs themselves, but shouting necessarily at people to do stuff.
I do recall one where there was a woman throwing the digs herself. So I don't think it's a gendered conversation. I think it's more a societal conversation and a conversation for the GAA about how to make sure that what happens on the pitch, even if there is stuff on the pitch that needs to be refereed, that at least you're only refereeing the 15 players and perhaps one or two managers to keep them in their dugouts.
Okay, Liam O'Neill is a former president of the GAA. What's to be done about this?
Well, first of all, can I just commend Sinead there. She gave a very fair summary of things. And I think it's best to be calm about these situations. If you don't mind, I won't comment on the most recent.
I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you what happened in Waterford. Okay. They're going to have their own investigation into that.
Yeah, I am prepared to comment on other incidents that took place very similar to this, okay? And my first point in all this is there is no acceptable level of violence. I've said that for years. There is no acceptable level of violence. It's not good enough. We have a difficulty in this country that somehow we don't take on people who do this. And I mean, I picture a situation where a person walks into a pub for a drink at night and someone says, did you strike a 15-year-old tonight? Did you push a young player? The person would be shamed. Well, we don't take them on. And what we have to do, I think, is I've spoken of this at the inter-county level and at club level. We have to clear the pitches. And when I was president, I did bring about a situation where we cleared the sidelines. We took reduced the number of people on the sidelines hugely because of an incident in Ireland where managers jostled. And we cleared the extra people. That has crept back now. I think we have to bring about a situation where the pitch is sacrosanct, where nobody is allowed to step on the pitch. And if possible, games are played in fenced-off pitches. But nobody should be allowed onto a pitch. Con Hoolan, the famous reporter, said he called people who come onto the pitch the space invaders. And he made the point one time in an article that you have no defence. You must treat a person who comes on the pitch as a potential danger to you. And that happened. That's why people take them on. But nobody should be allowed to step on a pitch.
We're very boring radio because we're agreeing with each other, Liam. But honestly, because inter-county players won't experience this, obviously, because they're playing at a level where they are being treated like professionals. They are being treated like stars. But the club players, where this kind of violence is happening and where we're seeing it on social media, often the start of it is that encroaching on the pitch. So, Matt, you asked about, you know, does it happen in the women's game? One of the most frustrating things that happens as a club player is fans from either side, but you're obviously going to be annoyed by the fans from the opposing team more, is coming on and just inch by inch coming into your space. Like it can be very frustrating. It's all right when you're corner back because you kind of want to be pulling your corner forward in as close as possible to the goal. But it, even if you feel safe, even if you don't think anyone's going to actually harm you, it's bringing an aggro to the game that is not necessary, and it should be sacrosanct. And the referee has a hard enough job, and I think that's part of this conversation as well, is reducing the abuse towards referees and making that an absolute no-go by anyone on the sideline.
But Liam, would there be people though who think that they're only letting off a little bit of steam and that they're sort of entitled as part of their fun almost of supporting their team in shouting at the referee, shouting at the players, that they regard this as part of the whole fun of the involvement?
I wouldn't think they're regarded as fun. Watching the behaviour of some of them, they certainly aren't enjoying it. People are angry. And Matt, we have to admit, anybody who is to head on the sideline needs anger management. This is only supposed to be fun. Great effort has been done by Pat Daly over the years in the GA to bring about a situation where underage activity is developmental. That means it's meant for fun and skill development. And I think that policy has paid off, and you see the wonderful players who have come through that system now showing the skills at senior level. But we have to protect the people. We did do it in Laois. When I was secretary, and even before that, we banned people from having home games for the misbehaved. One club was banned for 2 years, couldn't have a home game because they couldn't guarantee the behaviour of their mentors and supporters. I'd say we should do that again. And if they have to travel to every game, they might reconsider their actions.
But Liam, isn't it also the case, though, that the very nature of the games on the pitch is that players are encouraged to physically impose themselves on their opponent, to dominate and intimidate their opponent if necessary? And if that means a few shunts or a few digs, it's almost encouraged by a lot of management.
Yeah, but wouldn't be, Matt, if we produce the yellow card for it. That should be a yellow card offence.
I think
you know, if you do it during the game, if you physically interfere with someone in a third man tackle on the game, or if you trip somebody who's going to get a ball, you get a black card, which means you're gone for 10 minutes. Why not for that too? Let's have a zero tolerance. A yellow card or a black card for someone who comes on and does that would stamp it out immediately. But we tolerate the person who misbehaves, and we say, you know, Liam looks after all the underage teams in whatever club it is, and he's a great fella, he just loses the head on the sideline, and he's not a bad person really. My contention is how he behaves on the sidelines, how he really is.
Yeah.
And we need to tackle that.
I think probably something, and the GAA has started tackling it certainly this year and a little bit last year, but like back in 2022 when we were talking about, you know, red cards didn't really mean anything because someone got a red card, and particularly if they were high profile or heading towards the business end of the season, it was definitely going to be
overturned
or reduced. I think it was something like 17 out of 50 red cards or something in 2022 were
rescinded,
and therefore the player went on, and that trickles down. So if people don't think that the GA actually disciplines or follows through with anything that's actually in the rule book, of course that trickles down to under 15s and to people on the sideline. But I think there's a carrot and stick as well. I think you have to, like, say for under 15 level or under 14 level, you have to make sure it's enjoyable for everybody there. So it's not just about bans or yellow cards. It's like, this game will be more enjoyable if everyone is watching it in the spirit that the GA intends it to be. So to promote those kind of things. And I think at underage level, they do that really well, up to under 12. And then it's kind of a free-for-all because, you know, the competition starts and parents start getting competitive. So it's about bringing parents along and making sure that they know that it's about the kids playing and not about their wishes and wants for winning.
Sinead O'Carroll, editor of the journal.ie, Liam O'Neill, former GAA president. Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.